Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we'll be continuing the Toxic series with week 3, Self. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
I've talked to people and they say, Jarvis, what you spoke on this week, God's been showing me. Here's what I feel like. I feel like what I'm about to speak on, God's like dragging me through these things. I feel like maybe for you it's after a Sunday. I feel like even what I'm about to preach on now, he's been dragging me through this. Like, I'm just going to tell you this. I don't preach up here because I have got this figured out. Some people think, well, you've mastered it. I'm like, dude, that's my wife. I have not mastered anything. I am a process, and I am not a finished, complete process. But it's funny because as Christians and as believers, it's not that we have to master it. We just need to keep on becoming aware of it and managing it because we all have issues. Everybody, raise your hand if you have issues in this place. So we all have issues. Welcome to church, okay? People always say, I'm not going to go to churches because it's hypocritical. Well, welcome to the club. No one's perfect. And listen, if we just confess that we're not real, we just confess our sins, listen, God can heal what we're not hiding. And so I just believe in the midst of this toxic series, I want us to literally pull out junk that doesn't need to be there and stuff that's habit. I say this for the last 3 weeks. I deal with people who would come to my, I was just going to say office, but I don't have office, my house, in different things, and they literally tell us their situations and they lay stuff out. But I keep on thinking, that's not the heart of the issue. That's just the frosting on a cake. We can deal with that, but until we deal with the cake, the frosting doesn't matter until we deal with the whole enchilada, like what's going on the inside. And that's why we're doing this series, because we do things just naturally through our days going through it, because this is what we always done, without even thinking this may be unhealthy for us. Like, this may not be right. The verse I've been using every single week is this one. It says Romans 12:1-2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So not to be deformed or conformed, but to be, or just informed, but to be transformed. Because we believe at our church and in Scripture, real life begins on the inside." Real life begins on the inside, and it's not about what happens to you, it's what happens in you. And so today, last week we talked about, I had a trash can up here, and I talked about, hopefully in your life, you take some of this trash, and you got to decide, is this what I'm hearing, is this truth or trash? And it's not just throwing it away, it's literally taking the trash that we have taken, and you got to empty out the trash. Just like last night, I was making chicken the other night, fajitas in my house, and all of a sudden I started putting the chicken in the trash. Guess what's going to happen if I leave the uncooked chicken in the trash? It doesn't matter if I throw it away or not, it's still going to smell my whole house up because it's still in the house. I literally got to take the trash out and put it in the garbage, because just because you throw it away doesn't mean it's gone. And sometimes I'm telling you, there are certain mindsets in our lives that we got to empty out every single week, every single day, that we got to keep on, even though it keeps on coming up, we're going to say, that's trash. I got to take it out. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. And so I think for us, and so we've been dealing with that. So today is this. It's toxic self. And so we're going to deal with a little bit about selfishness and self-centeredness today. So everybody just close your eyes. Let's just pray this morning as we dive in. Lord, I just pray we need your help this morning, even as the pastor. But Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in this room. I just pray we don't need to be self-centered, but we need to be centered on the things of you. Lord, help us to dive into you. Lord, trust you in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. It's interesting because we live in this selfie. I love taking selfie pictures of me and people. We live in this selfie mentality life where everything, even by the time you were born, isn't it funny that our society is just selfish? Like it's about us. Even promotions have it your way, and so there's songs about just whatever feels good for you, have it your way. Like make it yours, and like decide on your ways. And people are trying to give us more options now. You can even go to certain restaurants and get the drinks every way you want it. You can say, I want Diet Coke, caffeine free, push up a button, with cherry and you know what I'm saying, and rip whatever you want in it. And so we're getting to people saying, what do you want? It's in yours. But I feel like, personally, this is also really hard for us. For instance, most people in this room know somebody who is very selfish or very self-centered. Is this true? Raise your hand. Do you know somebody in your life? And if you're not raising your hand, you're probably that person. Just kidding. Not all the wives are hitting husbands and back and forth. But listen, what's interesting about this is that there's people in our lives. But I want to share this. I feel like there's a little difference between selfish and self-centered. Selfish, which is a person or an action or a motive, means lacking consideration for others and is concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. Selfish person is not considerate of anybody. It's only concerned with one's own personal profit or pleasure. Proverbs 28:25 says, selfishness only causes trouble. All selfishness does is cause trouble. Now, self-centered means being preoccupied with oneself and one's affairs. So selfishness doesn't give any attention to anybody else, and it says it's only about me, where some who's self-centered, you still might care for other people, you just care for yourself more at first. Does that make any sense? Like, you still might, I'm not saying you're a selfish person, but your default comes to you first. Your default comes, your world revolves around you. And this is why it becomes your world. When people say your world revolves around you, sometimes this does. Has anybody ever been to Disney World and you've ever been to that really dumb ride called It's a Small World? Anybody ever been on it? It's actually really cute, but once you go on that ride, it's in your head all day. You know, it's a small world after all. And what's funny about this is as believers, this is why I love missions. This is why I love mission trips. This is why I just got an update on Facebook from our church in El Salvador, what they're doing with ministry and stuff. I love hearing what they're doing because here's why. It makes our world bigger. Now, here's what's happened. There's maybe people in your life who would get stressed out and worried so fast. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons is because their world is so small. One of the reasons is that their world is so small, they don't have a lot of other things going on. They're not into the bigger picture stuff. And so when they're dealing with their own little family, their finances, it's a bigger deal because their world is so small. Is that making sense? But when you have this picture that our world is bigger and that you're affecting more people and you see more things, it doesn't seem so small because our world is bigger. And I think this is just an awareness that we have to have, is that we even as Christians, now listen, everybody in this room, if you've ever been a baby, raise your hand. I'm not saying it acted like a baby. I'm saying you've been a baby. So you were literally born as a baby, as a selfish being. Think about this. My daughter Sadie cannot speak hardly yet. So you know how she gets her attention? She whines. She falls apart. She tugs on our pants. Like, she can't communicate yet, but she's like, you know what I'm saying? She point to what she wants. But as people, we are born with this need to say, what I need it. I need this. And sometimes we don't really know our needs. We just want to be needed. And so what's crazy about, even as a young age, we're in this mentality because it's about us. As babies, we are taught it's all about me. Time to eat, time to burp, time to wake up. My kids say things like, that's mine. Can I go first? Or they just jump in first. This is natural response for us to think of ourselves first and not others first. I'm telling you, one of my goals as a dad, my wife will say this, she agrees too, is that help our kids think of other people besides themselves. Think of others first. Don't just always jump in line and get what you want first, but to think of others first. So as Christians, this needs to be the same way. So all that to say, that was just intro. So here we go. How solutions solutions of the self-centeredness. How do we get out of this mindset? Number one is this. We need to give ourselves, yourself, away. Mark 8:35 says this. Jesus said, if you try to hang to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. I love what Mother Teresa says. She says, a life not lived for others is a life, is not a life. And then C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite quotes of all times, says this, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Think about that. I'm going to say it again. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking about yourself right away. It's not thinking about, what am I going to do? What's in it for me? It's thinking of, it's literally thinking, it's conditioning your brain. Because listen, I'm telling you, a toxic mentality is to think, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? What can I do? Not what can I give, but what can I do? If you're not giving your life away, then really, which Mother Teresa said, you're not really existing. True love, when we do weddings, we show this, true love is not selfish. True love is selfless. True love is not standing up for yourself and saying, I want this, I deserve this. True love is laying down your life for the other person. True love is not being selfish, it's being selfless. I'm telling you, if you're in a marriage and you're a self-centered person, chances are your marriage is not healthy. Amen? Because it's hard to have relationships when you're self-centered, when you're selfish. And so as the world says, get all you can, and Jesus Christ is saying, give all you can. What can I lay down? And so we all, listen, everybody in the same room, you're born a baby, so you're born with this nature, but now we all have 168 hours a week to say, what am I going to do with this? What am I don't know if that math is right, but it's pretty close, I'm sure. What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this time? How are we going to give to the other person? And you might be saying, what do you mean by give? I'm going to share some examples, but I told us in our team before, you know what a lot of us do? Somebody comes up to me, or you, or let's just say Ken comes up to me and says, hey, I'm really going through this struggle, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, car troubles, whatever, and he comes up to me and he starts sharing. What typically happens, what a lot of people in the world do is, as Ken is talking, they're not focused on what Ken is saying in Ken's heart. What they're doing is thinking of a few things. Number one, what am I going to say next to Ken that goes along with this? Or you're thinking, how can I tell Ken a bigger story than what he's sharing with me? Right? And what happens is we start thinking the scenes, and so you're not giving attention. You're trying to figure out ways to get attention back on yourself. Now, listen, I know some people in this room hate attention, but some people crave it. And it's so hard for us to give attention. And this is why worship is so good, because what worship does, it's not getting attention, it's giving attention. When you're in the military and somebody says attention, that means you are focused, you're alert, and that you're not just looking attentive, but you're giving. Like you are listening and you are ready. And so when we give God attention, when we give other people attention, when we give that attention, listen, what you're doing is saying, I am here for you and I am listening. I may not just hear, but I'm hearing what you're saying. And so I think for us is saying, so how do we, you know what I'm saying? So number one is this, that I think we need to give ourselves away. Number two is this, we need to die and to deny ourselves. Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. If you have a Bible with you, do underline that first line. Don't be selfish and don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look, if you have a Bible, underline look, out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, listen to this, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and denied a criminal's death on a cross. If anybody who ever had the right to claim anything was Jesus being the Son of God, and what he did was saying this, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny my rights and lay it down and serve you. That's crazy. He's saying, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny my position. I'm going to deny even who I am just to be you with you and deny that so I can, and this is what he's saying, and deny it. If you circle the word look in Greek is actually is the same word that we use for microscope and telescope. It means to survey or get a large view of something. And so when you read that word look, it says don't look out only for our own interests, but the interests of others. And Jesus is saying here, he says, look, put it on, he says, don't just put yourself under microscope, but make others bigger. Look at it differently. He says, look at people differently. Don't just make them look at you, but look at other people. Jesus also said in Matthew, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. Jesus died on a cross. And we know this. But after he was beaten, after he was whipped and the crown of thorns on him, they built this cross for the criminal that they called him. And not only after he was beaten and weakened by all this, they said, we're going to kill you on the cross, but you need to carry it yourself. So Jesus literally went underneath the cross, this heavy cross that he was going to be dead on, and he carried it up the hill to his burial site, pretty much. He just had to carry this thing up the hill. As sweat is pouring down his face, as he can barely move, it's coming down, and it says that he literally carried the cross so they can put him on it. One, how humiliating is that, that he has to carry something he's going to die on? Two, he has to be weak in his body, and he's carrying. It says at one time, he lost grip, and he fell, and somebody came and actually helped him carry that cross. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine pushing through the crowd and just saying, Jesus, I got this for a little while? And as you pick up that cross, as the sweat's on the cross, and as the blood's on the cross, you help Jesus carry that cross. Because really, you are helping Jesus, but really not helping. You're part of it, but he's literally walking to his death. And as they carry the cross up the mountain, they get up there. And of course, you guys know the story of Jesus dies on the cross. Here's what I find amazing about this, is that Jesus in this verse is telling us, those who want to follow me, pick up the cross and follow me. Now, in our culture, there's nothing wrong with wearing crosses and putting crosses on your wall. And listen, that stuff is really good. But I'm telling you, there is a big difference between wearing a cross and carrying a cross. Amen? There is a vast difference between having a cross tattoo, which I'm not saying is bad. I'm just saying this is a difference. And I probably still hurt too, right? And carrying your cross. And you could say, what does that mean? I'll get into that in a second. But when he talks about denying yourself and dying to yourself, it's the same thing, that you literally deny yourself as it carries a cross. Matthew 10:38 says, whoever does not take up their cross, think about that, and follow me is not worthy of me. And some translations, this doesn't say, it doesn't use the word worthy like it uses in our culture, like you're not worthy of it, because he still says you're valuable. What he's talking about, he's just saying, at some point, what he's saying is, at some point, you have to carry this. Now, I'm not saying that you go out today and Jerry the carpenter is going to build you a cross and you're going to carry it around town all day today. I am saying, though, in our lives, it's not just something to show up, it's something to carry. like the Christianity itself gets heavy. It gets tiring, carrying this cross. And so it says this, Paul even says, refer to it in Romans, he says, I die daily, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Romans 6:6-11 says this, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves in sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death has died. He died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. Listen, what he's saying is, you don't have to physically die. Jesus died and made a way that we don't have to physically die in our sin, because he died because of our sin. But what he says is, you have to die to yourself or deny yourself and make bets against yourself. Like say, I'm not going to work in the flesh. Like, I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm not going to do what comes natural for me. Some people, the world tells you, just do what feels good. And I'm going to tell you, do what God is calling you to do. Not just because it feels good, do what he's calling you to do. What does it look like for me to deny myself, to die myself every single day? Not just a one-time thing. Now listen, I want you to catch this. This is for church people, unchurch people, everybody. You got to catch this for 1 second. When he says to die to yourself, Paul says, I daily die to myself. He's literally saying it's not a one-time stop. I don't do it for one time and I'm done. He's saying, I wake up daily and I have to die to my sinful nature every single day. Because I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. That every single day I have to deny. Our society says, express yourself, assert yourself, indulge yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. And now I'm not saying you got to sell your house and, you know what I'm saying? Shannon and Charles, you guys are going to sell your house and go live on a farm all by yourself and deny yourself every pleasure. I'm not saying that at all. But some days that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Like, that's actually not a bad... But I'm not saying that's what he's saying. He says you cannot, and you can't have this, and you can't... I'm just saying, at some points, we have to look at our lives and saying, is this what God is asking me to do? Or in a small token, so I'm going to read this. What does it mean for you to deny yourself? Here's some examples. When you watch your peers and your friends and those close to you prosper and succeed without feeling jealous, but rather you rejoice in their success, then you know you are learning to deny and die to yourself. When you see other people attain goals you fail to reach and see others get rewards and recognition that you would like to have, but you don't become envious, you are denying yourself. When you see others' needs being met with abundance, while your needs are far greater and you don't question God or you fail to be grateful and you keep on being grateful, you are learning to deny yourself. When you choose to serve your wife or your husband or your children and put their needs ahead of yours, you are learning to die to yourself. When you share your faith at work or at school, and you invite friends to our events or invite people to do a relationship with Jesus Christ and you share your testimony, even though you may be insulted or put down, you are learning to die to yourself. When you don't seek praise or look for compliments or approval from others, and when you can live without constantly being recognized and applauded, you're dying to yourself. When you draw out the other person in conversation rather than telling all your stories and opinions and just listen to somebody else, you're denying yourself. When you tell the truth, even at a personal expense, you're denying yourself. When you pay your fair share of taxes, when people around you are cheating on their taxes all the time, you're denying yourself. When you accept criticism willingly and learn from it with a teachable attitude, you're learning to deny yourself. When you place the comfort of others ahead of your own comfort, and you allow others to do the job that you know you're better trained for, but you celebrate with them, you are denying yourself. When you can be content with less than the best of circumstances without griping or complaining, you are denying yourself. When people break promises to you and let you down, and you refuse to become bitter, and you accept to become better, you are denying yourself. When you are content to let God settle the score, and you won't take action yourself, and you are content to wait, you are denying yourself. And when you have the attitude of Jesus Christ, and you share in him, you are denying yourself. Number three is this. We just need to be God-centered. I don't know if there's any opposite of self-centered, but it's just like a wheel. Your power comes from the hub. Is this right, Ken? The power comes, it doesn't come in the wheel itself. It comes in the center. That's where the power comes from. And so when you say something like self-centered, that means you are the center. That means you are trying to get your power from you. So I'm just going to tell you, whether you've been here for 10 weeks or whether you've been here for 3 years or whether you've been in charge of church for 20 years, I think all of us has to ask this question. Am I self-centered or am I God-centered? Not just today, but even tomorrow. Like, am I God-centered? As I go to work today, as I'm raising my kids, am I disciplining? Am I loving my wife? Am I loving the coworkers? Am I loving the neighbors? Am I doing this? Am I God-centered or am I self-centered? I'm not saying you're selfish, but is your decisions first going through you before it goes through him? Are you being self-centered or are you being God-centered? To be self-centered is a life of focus on self. We are proud of self, our own accomplishments. We have confidence in self and we depend on self. To be God-centered, we have confidence in God, dependence on God, on his abilities, on his provision, a focus on him. This is really, I can get Dan and Breen up here. I shared this before church, and I had this weird thought come to my head a few weeks ago, and I'm just going to share this. My wife, she's amazing. Right? Amen? She's amazing. She's amazing. My wife likes to rearrange the house. I'm not saying I hate it. It's just not one of my favorite things. And she can rearrange, and she always makes it look better than it was, so I should never argue with her because she's amazing. But I was thinking about this. What if somebody came to my wife and I and had this painting, and it was the most beautiful painting we have ever seen. And they give it to us, and as soon as we looked at it, we're like, that is the most beautiful painting. We got to change our living room for this painting. So we figure out where we want on the wall. We put this painting up, and as we look at it, we are so amazed at how awesome it is. It's so beautiful. We look at each other and we say, you know what we should do? We should rearrange all of our furniture to make sure the focus goes on the painting. Think about that. We're gonna rearrange it all. We are going to rearrange where we sit. We're going to rearrange where our couches and chairs are. We're going to rearrange everything so the focus is on this painting. And then we go to each other saying, not only are we going to rearrange our living room, we're going to rearrange the whole house. We're going to take down walls. We're going to put up some new walls. We're going to take some stuff down because we're going to rearrange the whole house for this painting. Crazy. You imagine trying to sell a house, Jim, and the whole house is centered on one painting. It's not going to work so well, right? Think about this. We're going to rearrange the whole house for this one painting. That's what it's like to have Jesus at the center. Everything changes. Everything is rearranged around. Think about this. When he's in the house, things change. You may be thinking, Jarvis, that is crazy? You're telling me you want me to rearrange my life? Are you telling me you want me to rearrange my house for a painting? No. I'm telling you, though, when Jesus is in the house, and when Jesus is in your heart, and when Jesus becomes the center, things are going to be rearranged. This is where it gets really like, you telling me I got to lay down this? Are you telling me I got to give this up? Are you telling me I got to lay this? A few weeks ago, I shared this, and I'm going to share it again. There was a prominent speaker, amazing speaker, and the Lord told him many years ago to give up chocolate. Chocolate. There's no sin in chocolate. Right? He says, give up chocolate. And he felt like the reason he has to give up chocolate because it leads to a lot of just eating, excessive eating, and he can't control it. So he's like, so for the last 40 years, he's given up chocolate. Why? Because he just felt like he had to. Not because nobody else had to, but because it was for him. Listen, I'm telling you, there is, when you truly surrender, and this is why a lot of people, this is going to be honest, this is why a lot of people have a hard time making God Lord in their life. Because when Jesus comes into your heart, he starts moving pieces around. He starts, things just don't feel the same. Things that you used to do, no longer, that just doesn't sit well anymore. The friends that you used to have and the conversations and the jokes that you used to listen to and the things that you used to say and the swear words that were okay before don't start sounding okay anymore. The lies that you used to say, even the small ones, you start catching up and saying, that's not okay anymore. Can I just tell you this? When I went to Evangel, I wasn't even planning on sharing this, but I feel like I got to share this. Not to brag about me, I want to share you something. When I went to Evangel University my freshman year, I was in a fender bender. My fault. Okay, it was raining out. I wasn't paying attention. And I hit this lady in front of me, daughter and lady. No damage on our cars. I'm going to tell you how, like, no scratches, no nothing. Police showed up. What is it? My parents, it was 7 years later, my parents get a knock at the door in Wilmer, and there was the cops looking for me. And I was like, why do they want you? I said, I don't know. So I came home, they gave me whatever it's called, paperwork, and the lady I hit from 7 years prior was suing me for the fender bender. $140,000 damage. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm a college student. This is 7 years. Like, what, were we just sitting on this? Like, we decided, hey, my back hurts. Oh, this young college guy hit me. No damage. No records from the police of damage. So my lawyer, of course, I had a lawyer, called me down to Springfield, Missouri to speak on behalf of all the other lawyers because they wanted to know what actually happened. Here's what they drew up on the board. They finally told me that they were no longer suing me. They were suing a phantom insurance company because the picture on the board was, my car was in the middle, I hit her, but another car hit me into her and hit me. And I looked at that board and I said, that's not right. That's not some phantom's fault. The cop wrote it up wrong. I said, that's my fault. I pulled my lawyer to the side and I just said, hey, they drew this up wrong. He looked at me and he says, Jarvis, two options. You can let this be and not say a word. Let it be. It's their mistake. Check this out. Their mistake, police's mistake, you can let this be and you're no longer dealing with this and it's a phantom insurance deal. Or you just be honest and share what happened and you'll be coming down Missouri and you'll be sued and this is going to continue on for many years. What do you want to do? And I know to most people, Maybe you're not self-centered like me, okay? But I had a time to think there for a second. I said, it's not that big of a lie. No one's going to know about it. I don't want to drive down here. I don't want a lawyer anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Let's just be done with it. And then I said, it doesn't matter who doesn't know. What matters is he knows. I told my lawyer straight up, I said, It doesn't matter if you don't know or the insurance company doesn't know. I said, my Father in heaven knows, and I'm not going to do this, and we're going to go through this. And it was my mistake. I walked in, and I said, you guys wrote this up wrong. I redrew it back on the board the right way, and I said, this is my fault. Listen, I don't tell you that story to tell you to brag and say, listen, but I'm telling you because God is looking for people that even though it gets tough, you're going to be willing to get it messy because you're going to be honest, you're going to carry your cross, you're going to do it the right way. You're not going to fake it till you make it. You're going to do the hard thing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to carry and saying, God, I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to be with you. And this is what it means to deny ourselves, saying, listen, we're going to make these decisions. I don't want to be a grump. I don't want to steal money. I don't want to cheat people. I don't want to do it this way because my Father in heaven doesn't like me doing it this way. And this is the truth. And I'm telling you, I know it's scary, but if you want to see God, if you feel like God is boring, allow him to be the Lord of your life and let him rearrange your furniture and rearrange your house so the focus gets on the right thing again. Everybody just stand up this morning. It's interesting because to some people, this, well, it's not really that toxic. I think this is one of the most important toxic things we have. Because if all of our decisions are being made by my self-centered, listen, I think we're missing the point. Now, listen, I'm not saying what you want doesn't matter. I'm just saying if somebody asks you a question, instead of assuming right away you have the answer, and this is, I'll be honest, here's another one of my problems. This is what I'm realizing the last few weeks. If Joel comes up to me and says, hey, bro, I got to have a decision to make. I got to pray about this. Can you help me pray with this? I'm a type of person, I feel like I've walked people through a lot of stuff. I just give advice like this. And the Holy Spirit's been saying, dude, you gave advice really fast. Why don't you just pray about that first? True. Maybe as Christians, if Joel comes to me and just, you know, before we talk, let's just pray about this. Let's make God the center of this conversation. What if when you meet with your girls or meet with your friends and you start having conversations about trials in life, what if you just prayed about it before you started a conversation, not when you end a conversation? What if we just make God first instead of filler? And this is what it means to be God-centered. You deny ourselves, put him in to where he needs to be.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the Toxic Sermon Series.